This talk is given by a student at Ordinary Mind Zendo. In these talks, senior students explore their personal journeys, share their understanding of the Dharma, and offer encouragement to others in their practice. The talks are unique in that they present a diverse set of voices walking a common path.
Hi. I want to thank Chris and Barry for the opportunity to speak today. I reached out to Barry when Chris had suggested that I might like to do a talk. And I asked Barry, considering all the different things going on in my life, some of them painful, and which I'll get into maybe a little bit, but mostly keep private, what he thought I should talk about. And he suggested case two of the Mumukon, which is Hakujo and the Fox. So I'm going to read from case two to start. And I should say that this is largely taken from Barry's talk. Maybe 90% of this is utter plagiarism. So when you're listening to me, you can mostly hear Barry. And I say that in the spirit of love of Barry and his words. Case two. Once when Hakujo delivered some Zen lectures, an old man attended, unseen by the monks. And at the end of each talk, when the monks left, so did he. But one day he remained after they had gone, and Hakujo asked him, "Who are you?" The old man replied, "I am not a human being, but I was a human being when the Kashyapu Buddha preached in this world. I was a Zen master and was abbot of this mountain. And then one of my students asked me, if the enlightened person is subject to the laws of causation, I answered him, the enlightened person is not subject to the law of causation. And for this answer, I became a fox for 500 rebirths, and I am still a fox. Will you save me from this condition with your Zen words? And let me get out of this fox body?" Now I may ask you, is the enlightened person subject to the law of causation? Hakujo said, "The enlightened person is not blind to the law of causation." At these words, the old man was enlightened. "I am emancipated," he said, bowing deeply, paying homage. "I am no more a fox, but I have to leave my fox body in my dwelling place behind this mountain. Please perform a monk's funeral for it." And then he disappeared. The next day, Hakujo gave an order to the chief monk to prepare for a funeral. "No one is sick in the infirmary," wondered the monks. "What does our teacher mean?" After dinner, Hakujo led the monks out and around the mountain. In a cave with his staff, he poked at the corpse of an old fox and then performed the cremation ceremony. That evening, Hakujo gave a talk to the monks and told them the story about the law of causation. Obaku, upon hearing the story, asked Hakujo, "I understand that a long time ago, because a certain person gave a wrong Zen answer, he became a fox for 500 rebirths. Now I want to ask, if some modern master was asked many questions and he always gives the right answer, what will become of him?" Hyakujo said, "Come here near me and I'll tell you." Obaku went near Hakujo and slapped him in the face. Hakujo clapped his hands and laughed. "I thought the old barbarian had a red beard," he said. "And now I know a barbarian right here who has a red beard." And then Mumuan's comment on this case is not subject to causality. How can this answer cause 500 rebirths as a fox? Not blind to causality, how could this emancipate a fox? To understand clearly, you have to have just one eye. Then you will appreciate how Hakujo lived 500 lives as 500 lives of grace. And then Barry would urge us, our Sangha, to think back. How did you get here? After I had my twin boys, I moved with my ex-husband and my infant sons to Canada. I never fully lost touch with the Sangha, because I stayed in touch with Barry. But as a new mother, I rarely had time to sit. Rather, my sitting was holding my sons. They ate, they slept in my arms. And my koan, Barry suggested this koan, "What is my son doing?" Well, this was a great koan. Barry knew I was troubled with my marriage, and he was helping me stay with just this in the moment, with just my sons, just here, just now. "What is your son doing?" "My son is eating. My son is sleeping. My son is having his diaper changed." Throughout the days and nights of their infancy, "What is my son doing? What is my son doing as my marriage ends?" In Barry's lecture, he asked, "Fellow foxes, what brought you here? Think back." Now, what brought me back to the Sangha, back to sitting Zazen on a cushion, was having to leave my sons with my ex-husband for weekends when they were 4 and 6 years old. I had divorced my husband. Only after I came back to the Sangha and to my teacher and realized you can be a Zen Buddhist and ask for a divorce. However, that was not the enlightenment experience I thought it would be, not entirely. Now I had to trust the universe and keep my son safe while they were away. That is what brought me back to the Zendo, my fellow foxes. My pups were away from the den, or the earth, as the fox's den is sometimes called. My pups were away from the earth. I couldn't be sure they were safe. Barry asks us to recall, what were all the circumstances of you being here now? So now I'll ask us to sit for a silent moment or two to recall for ourselves those circumstances that brought us here. Now, back to the Zendo, back to the Sangha. Barry says, it may seem fantastic to hear a fairy tale and imagine being reborn as a fox. But I woke up this morning and I looked in the mirror and I saw I had been reborn. For me, as a 52-year-old old woman, how did that happen? He says, this case comes right after the case of Moo, where we have another animal at the center of the case, this time a dog. We are asked, does a dog have Buddha nature? In that case, the answer is literally no. Moo. No. He says, we foxes wish Moo was the end of it, where all difference disappears. Oneness. Moo is all it is about. Moo. As Barry says, where all the painful particulars of our life disappear. Moo. He says there is a great erasure in this. We can experience a great dissolving into this moment. And of course we long for that. Let's forgive ourselves for longing for that great erasure. Especially if we've had a taste of it and we try to hold on to it. And yet right after Moo, there's this story, another story about another animal. Well, this story is of an old abbot who says realization frees him from causality. Exactly what we have experienced in Moo. Exactly what we have wanted our practice to do for us. And as a result, he lives 500 rebirths as a fox. Here he reminds us of the Heart Sutra. The first case, no old age and death. The second case, no end to old age and death. This koan is practicing not with Mu, no old age and death. This koan reminds us, no end to old age and death. I suspect we've all had a glimpse of Moo's powerful elixir. And sometimes in our discussions as a Sangha, we tend to dwell here, to stay here, to remove ourselves from the painful circumstances of the second case, of the fox experiencing no end to old age and death. I tried in our collective, in our Sangha, to tell my iteration, my story as a fox, sharing my story of 500 years. And is my hope that I can invest my honesty, a genuine example of no end to old age and death. Obaku, who is Hakujo's senior student, asks Hakujo, what if he had given the right answer? What would have happened then? Sometimes we sit in the assuredness of the right answer. Sometimes we sit in the confusion of not knowing if it's the right answer. Now, collectively, as a Sangha, we are aging together in front of each other's eyes, in front of our own eyes, when we look in the mirror. How do we look together? How do we live together with the question of causality, with grace? How do we together make peace with 500 rebirths? With my sons growing up and moving out. This is not a punishment. And it is still something to make peace with. Getting hurt, I may feel, is this my punishment? I must have done something wrong. If only I had given the right answer, if only I had done the right things, if only I had said the right things or eaten the right things or done yoga the right way or meditated the right way, all these things wouldn't be happening. But what this case asks us to remember is that there is no difference between the right answer and the wrong answer. In this koan, we start off with the right answers and then the wrong answers. And in the end, the distinction dissolves. Not because we escape the painful particulars, or the distinctions of right answers and wrong answers. Being a fox doesn't dissolve anything. Being a fox, we finally give the right answer, but it feels just this moment after moment. The painful particulars. My son is not here. My son is without. I am alone. Just these painful particulars. His empty room. That vulnerability I see in his face when we part. Just this. Not an idealized pure moment. That's what I see when I sit. And even more so when we discuss. But any moment at all is just this, Barry says. The moment when we sat down today, full of hope, full of dread maybe, full of disappointment to realize it's not Barry talking today. and then recognizing there is no difference in each moment. That feels like a fox or feels like a monk. There is no difference. Each of us, when we join together, we are joined with painful particulars alive in our bodies and in our lives. And I yearn for us to feel this aliveness as a group, to share our painful particulars, because that is what's alive in our group. Especially, I would love to hear some of the foxes who are lingering unseen behind the crowd of monks, from the women older than me, senior monks, who happen to be old women. Can we, the old men, draw out their difference? Can we embody our old master who greets us in Dilkasan with an abiding silence? When we start out in this practice, it's very hard to have that first experience of breakthrough when all difference is wiped away. Just this. Mu, two arrows meeting in midair. Yet as we go on, the box and its lid, the absolute and the ordinary, our lives just as they are right now, is just this. Let us share it with each other, all the painful particulars.